Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Oh man, I'm just excited to be here in the body of Christ, or the church. Amen. It's also good to see House of Oaks in the building, Pastor Daryl and Pastor Deborah, Sister Deborah. She's still a minister. Amen. So I just thank God that we actually have a vision where we can get together. Amen. With so many churches today, I was talking with Brother Tamron. It's so much stuff that goes on where people just find, it's almost like they're looking for ways to not work together. But if we can just band together as the body of Christ, I believe we could do some powerful things. Amen. I'm just excited. I was praying. Sometimes God gives me a word quick. Other times it's like, okay, Lord. My dad was like, you preaching tomorrow, right? I was like, if the Lord tell me something. I was like, if he don't tell me something, I don't know what I'm going to do. So I stayed up a little bit later last night, didn't go drive. And I was like, God, I need to hear what you want me to speak. Amen. And sometimes it takes that, right? Sometimes it takes a little more time with God. And today when I was praying last night, God, it was actually today because it was early in the morning, right? But he said, make time for me. Amen. And us as believers, we have to get to a point where we can make time to spend with God. I believe it's so important, especially, you know, we got all the stuff going on. But I think for us to keep our minds right, we have to make time for God. Amen. Everybody say, make time for God. See, this is the thing about making time for God. It doesn't just happen. Anybody try to just pray whenever it happens, right? I'm just going to pray whenever it happens. And some of us, we could do that, right? Some of us, as the word says, we pray without ceasing. So you might be washing your dishes and you start praying. But there's a difference when you make you purpose a time to spend with God. Amen. I am not a morning person by any means. My dad knows. He would try to wake me up for school. And then there was a certain tone that if he said it in, I knew I had to get up. Right. The other tones is like, yeah, I'm not getting up. Now, the funny thing is, Markayla, my daughter, does the same thing, right? So I'm trying to wake her up. Kayla, it's time to get up. And she says, huh? You know, she makes a noise, right? And then I say, Markayla, you better get out of that bed. And then she rises up, right? But it's funny, when we make time for God, God will meet us. Amen. When you purpose a time for God. So I started getting up just a little bit earlier. At first I was like, man, I'm just going to get up 15 minutes earlier. Then as God started speaking to me, he's like, I want more time, son. And I'm going to just encourage you guys. It doesn't always have to be an hour. You know what I'm saying? People get saved and all of a sudden, let's start praying for an hour. And guess what? It doesn't work like that. It's a time of growth. Amen. And even as you've been saved for a while, there's going to be different times where God is going to require more from you as you make time for him. Amen. Let's go to Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. This is called making God priority, making time for God a priority. Amen. Let's see, what is it? Luke 10, verse 38. Now, in this story, we see Mary and Martha. Both of them love God. Let's keep that in mind, right? Both of them love God. You said, what is it? Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now we see these two. These were friends of God, but we're going to see what God is actually looking for. Amen. It says, now what happened as they went, that he entered a certain village and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Okay, so Martha, right here, what we see already is Martha is welcoming him in. How many of us have welcomed God in our house? Amen. All of us? Okay, great. We've all welcomed him in. And then she said, In verse 39, and she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. All right? But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Now, listen. How many of us have been serving the Lord and we've said the same thing? Like, God, come on, man. Like, how come when it's time to clean the church, we the only ones here, right? Lord, how come when it's time to pray, there's nobody here? But if we're giving away gifts, everybody's here, right? If we're doing this, everybody comes. And some of us have all, I'm going to just say all of us, I know myself, I've been upset and say, God, how come we can't get any help? Somebody say distracted. Because what begins to happen is instead of spending time with God, you are distracted trying to please God. Now, there's a difference between those two things. I believe what she was doing was a good thing, but it wasn't a God thing, right? Because when God is there, sometimes we could see, this is what we could do. We can get so involved with church, but if we don't recognize the whole purpose of church is to meet God, we miss what we came to. Amen. I was talking to Tamron. We could shout, we could dance, we could jump around, but if we miss that our whole being as the body of Christ coming together is to spend time with God, then what are we doing? Guess what? We're distracted. We're distracted making sure everything looks good, serving, doing all these things. And I'm going to say this. There is nothing wrong with serving as long as you don't put that in priority of spending time with God. Amen? And I believe many of us, sometimes we get to that place where we have to step back and say, God, let me make you priority. The thing about making God priority is a lot of times people don't see that. That's why you can have pastors that have been preaching for years, ministers that have been in the body of Christ for years. They do great work, but that private time hasn't been great. And the funny thing is you can build a facade. You know, you got the church people. We know the lingo. We could dress up, part up. We can look good. But God is looking not at the outward appearance. God is looking at the heart. Amen. And this is not a, I don't want you guys to feel bad. I just want to encourage us to spend time with God. Amen. As I am encouraging myself. And I always say this, when God gives me a word, it always has to deal with me first. Amen. Let's read verse 40 again. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Somebody say, help me. Verse 41 said, and Jesus answered her and said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. How many of us are there sometimes? See, that's what happens when you try to just serve and you're not learning to just sit at his feet. You get into a place where you are worried and troubled. And I know the funny thing is when you're worried and troubled, it causes us to go back to God for some reason. Right? When everything is good, sometimes we're just like, oh, God, thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. We're going to go outside. It's sunny. Hallelujah. Look, God, praise you. You know, we got that lingo, right? But when it starts raining, when it starts snowing, when ice get out, right? In your life, when turmoil hits, a lot of times it causes us to go back to God. And I'm just going to say this. I believe God uses those things in our lives, those agents of change, to get us to get back into him. Right. So when you see things going on in our country, and I'm not going to talk a lot about what's going on. I don't put a lot of trust in the president anyway. That's just me. OK. But what I will say is if you start seeing things go bad, what should we do? Get back into God. Amen. And I was listening to somebody talk about this. I was listening to a radio show and they were talking about leaders. And when what God used leaders for, there were some leaders that God placed in to discipline people because they weren't living right. Right. The Israelites were placed in places of bondage and captivity because of their disobedience, right? And what did God do, though? God turned that around as they turned to him. He said, what is that scripture? In seek my face. Humble yourself and seek my face. Turn from your wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, right? Then he will hear from heaven and heal our land. What do we need to do in America? Humble ourselves and pray. Seek his face. Amen. So God can heal our land. Do not be worried and troubled. Verse 42 says, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Look at that. I like the promise of when you spend time with God, that will never be taken from you. Now, Martha was still, and it ends right there. So guess what? That's like, what do we do? That's like one of them situations in the Bible where it ends and it's like, all right, did Martha actually get it and just start spending time with God? Or did she say, well, these dishes still got to get clean? Right? It's those one of those cliffhangers. We don't know what happened. We expect that Martha began to spend time with God. But maybe God has told us the same thing. And we say, well, God, work still has to be done. I still have to prepare. Like, it's not just going to get done by itself. But sometimes you have to step back and say, okay, God, let me just spend time with you. Amen. And I'm not somebody that says pray 24 hours a day, right? Pray. I've heard some pastors pray 6 hours. Like, some of them might not have a job besides praying, right? I will tell you guys this. We don't have a lot of time to have that set aside. Maybe on a weekend you could do that, right? Maybe there's going to be times where God says, stay up with me and pray. All right. But I'm not going to tell you start praying 6 hours if you want God. No, just begin to get into his presence. One thing that I do is the way I know when prayer is done is when I hear God's voice. And I know what assignment he has for me that day. Amen. And I thank him for it. And I say, okay, God, all right, now I know what I do. I got the directions that I needed. Amen. Let's go to Philippians 4, 6 through 7. I'm not going to be long. This is called, I highlighted this as the importance and the rewards of time with God. And it was funny because we actually used this scripture earlier. Somebody said it. But it also gives clarity in decision making and direction as well as peace. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 6 and 7. When you got it, say amen. All right, we're talking about spending time with God, making time with God. Verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing. What does anxious mean? Anybody help me real quick? Nervous, worried. All right. Now, Jesus just told Martha that she was anxious and worried. Right. Paul is telling the church not to be anxious. But in everything, somebody say everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. All right. So not only are you supposed to pray, you're supposed to pray with thanksgiving. What does thanksgiving mean? You're going to be thankful because you already expect that God is going to be able to do it. Amen. So we don't get anxious. One thing I work for Uber. I tell people this all the time. I don't know if I have an Uber story yet. We'll see. But as you work with Uber, there was some changes coming. Somebody say changes. And they were calling us like, hey, it's going to go down. It's going to be really bad. Da, 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 da. And I answered them and I said, listen, I'm not worried about it. If something's going to happen, it's going to happen. Right? What am I supposed to do? OK, I did my part. Now I'm just going to relax. So all that fear and anxiety that you're trying to throw on me, I'm cool. I don't need it. All right. Have a great day. God bless you. Right. That was the mindset that I had. But guess what? That mindset had to be trained into me from spending time with God. Right? Now, I talked about this before. When I left my job in 2009, I've been working for myself since 2009. And When we left, 2009 was actually one of the worst economical years. There was a lot of stuff going, so it was tough. And as we were out trying to figure out how to do things, somebody say trying, it was a lot of prayer. It took a lot of prayer. And I was like, God, what do I do? God would give us direction. As we went, some things did not work. But guess what? I was anxious at that time, right? Like, God, this thing got to work. I listened to you. You told me to do this. I am doing this. Anybody been there before? God told you to do it, and you're doing it, and it just doesn't seem like it's working. But guess what? God is working in you. I tell people, man, 2009 was probably the worst year financially in my life, but that was the strongest I ever had faith. So from that place of, man, God, I don't know what to do. His word was, son, this is what he said constantly for months. Son, I will take care of you. Right? And I'm like, okay. So I'm calling my mortgage company. Hey, I don't got it today, but God told me, and I'm telling them this right here. God told me he's going to take care of it. Now, listen, that sounds crazy, but that's what I told them. And then guess what God did? Somebody on the other line was a believer. He said, listen, man, I'm going to have to delay this 4 months just because I'm going to do whatever I can to delay this. And I'm like, whoo, God's taking care of it. Right? But it took being in that position of anxiety, but not just staying there, but going to God and saying, God, how can you take care of this thing? Because I'm trying my hardest. We were going outside selling CDs every day. And in the wintertime, no, I'll tell you guys, you don't want no outside job in the wintertime. We started, instead of selling CDs, we started selling earmuffs. Listen, we was like, hey, you guys need these earmuffs, man. Look, $5. We bought them for $1. We sell them for $5. Here you go. People were buying them because it was that cold. And in the midst of cold, God kept us warm in our spirits. When we felt like, man, this is not working, God would send a sign. Somebody would come and just say, man, you're really impacting me. I've seen you guys for weeks. I've seen this going on. We were standing outside the clubs, right? And wait for a divine interaction, divine time. Somebody would come and ask us something, and we knew that that was the person we were going to minister to. There was people that would come and say, man, I'm not safe. Where should I go? I said, you're safe right here because God's presence is right here. And there was many times what God began to do is he began to touch people, and doing the work of God in that season showed us that God was there with us, and it encouraged us. That's why it's important to still serve. Amen. And see what God does, but also go to his presence so you can get direction. Amen. After a while, we stopped going out in the winter because God gave us more direction. It was warm direction. Amen. Hallelujah. But with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then it says, and the peace of God. Somebody said the peace of God. My dad said this earlier, which surpasses all understanding. Now, that's the part that you got to understand about God's peace. When people don't even understand it, you're not even panicking. They're like, you should panic. They got the sign. They got everybody running out. The alarm's going off, right? People are panicking. You guys ever seen movies where it's going down and people are trying to get out? But the superheroes in those movies are just walking in slow motion, right? The cars are exploding and they're just walking by, right? And those are just special effects, right? It's not really going down like that. But they trained us to believe that a superhero will have peace in the midst of a storm. The great thing about God is if you keep your eyes on Jesus, it says he will keep you in perfect peace. And this verse says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Despite what it looks like, despite what people are saying, despite how people's minds have been transformed and changed, he will keep you in peace. And then it says, not only that, he will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
That's why when you spend time with God, it is a guard for your heart. The Bible says out of the heart comes the abundance of life, right? Out of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? So when you're troubled, guess what? We start saying all kind of stuff. Let somebody cut you off when you're troubled, and guess what? They might get an earful, right? But if God keeps you in perfect peace, you could just be like, well, thank God. See, this is what happens. I'm going to tell you guys this. I drive a lot. And when I drive, when people cut me off, sometimes I'll be like, man, what's wrong with this person? But then after that, I realize and say, thank God that we didn't get in an accident. So I start changing my mindset instead of being upset at them to thank you, God, that we're okay. Why? Because we prayed that. So my prayer is that, God, you would guard my heart and my mind. Now, I'm going to say this. It's not a easy thing to do. The funny thing is people in the car that I drive so many times, they're like, look at that person. What's wrong with them? And I say stuff like, man, we all make mistakes sometimes. Let's just relax. Nobody was hurt, right? Why? Because God is keeping us in perfect peace. Amen. Somebody say, thank you, God, for your peace. Let's go to Daniel chapter 6. I'm going to read this chapter. This is what I call my feature scripture for today. And let's go ahead and just start reading it. All right, it says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom. And over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. All right. So the king is setting up a system for he don't have to deal with too many things. Right. That's what's going on right here. And Daniel was one of them that was head of those 20 people, 120 people. I'm sorry. Verse 3 says, then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. All right. Now, how did he get this excellent spirit in him? We're going to find out. But Daniel is it's a powerful book. I definitely recommend you reading Daniel. Daniel is actually like Revelations. There is a lot of revelation that is in that book. But it said he had an excellent spirit within him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. All right. Verse 4 says, so the governors and the satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault. I pray that people can say that about us, right? Daniel is going to get, anybody ever had a manager, you didn't like the manager, and you're like, how can we not let this person be the manager, right? That's what's going on right here. Daniel is going to be the manager, and because these other people were not going to be the manager, they wanted to find a way to get him to fall. But they couldn't, because it says right here, he was faithful. Somebody say faithful. Nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, we shall not find any charge against Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. All right, so what we already see is that Daniel is a faithful person. He is of excellent spirit. And the only thing they can find of fault is that he serves his God more than he does anything. He makes time to spend with God. Amen. It says in verse 6, so the governors and the satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and satraps, the counselors and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god, somebody say any god, or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so it can not be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. All right. Now, I don't know where Daniel was during that time. Maybe Daniel was there with them. Right. Because how are they going to get a decree passed and Daniel's the head and King Darius? I don't know. The King Darius just where's Daniel? He should have asked, where's Daniel at? But they got this thing passed. That if anybody prayed to anybody besides the king, he was going to be thrown into the lion's den. All right. Verse 10 says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. Somebody say he went home. This is what he already did before anyway. So guess what? Daniel heard about the rule, but he just did business as usual. He said he went home and in his upper room with the windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day, all right, and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom. Somebody say custom. That means this is what he normally did, right? So it was his custom since the early days. Now, he heard the rule, but he didn't panic. He said, I'm just going to go and do what I normally do. And not only am I going to pray, I'm going to pray with the window open, which I normally do. I'm not going to start hiding it. See, this is what begins to happen. Guess what? If they said that to people in the United States right now, you cannot pray to any other God, some of us would start getting silent with our prayers. Right? We might already, when we're at the house, we might pray out loud. But what begins to happen is we hide it. But as we see here, Daniel did not allow fear to allow his prayer to be shut down. He made time to spend with God despite the consequences. Verse 11 says, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any God or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the lions, the den of lions? Then the king answered and said, this thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. So they answered and said before the king, that Daniel, somebody say that Daniel. That means they'll have nothing to do with that Daniel. Right. When you say that person, right, it's like I don't have nothing to do with him. We're really trying to get rid of this guy. So they say that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition 3 times a day. And when the king heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians that have no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed. So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Now, that's powerful right there. Because this king understood that Daniel had an excellent spirit. You guys got to remember that, right? Daniel had an excellent spirit. He was faithful to the king, was one of the greatest. So now, I don't know if he was delivered because of this thing that this guy said or just because God wanted to show these people something. But it's powerful that the person that was in charge spoke into the atmosphere. You guys getting this? Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Now, that's powerful when you think about it. He put it in God's hands. Remember, before that, he was trying to do it himself. He was trying to find a loophole to get Daniel saved. But then he said, let's put it in God's hands. The God that you serve, he continually, when you serve him continually, he's going to deliver you. Verse 17 says, then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet ring and the signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. Somebody say fasting. So what is beginning to happen here? This king, first of all, he speaks that God's going to deliver him. But now fasting is an ultimate time of spending time with God. Right? So he's fasting. He's not going to sleep. God is keeping him up. Or he's petitioning God. So he's like, God, I know how this works. People petition me all the time. Look, I'm going to show you how dedicated I am to you. So I'm going to leave all the food alone. Right? That's really what begins to happen when you fast. You're showing your dedication to God more than that food. Right? Anybody ever fast and they had some fried chicken and you just smell it? Right? Let me tell you about a fasting story. I used to drive a truck my last job. And I was delivering to CenturyLink Field. I was delivering to CenturyLink Field, and it was lunchtime. And guess what happened? I walk in, hey, man, I got this delivery for you. He's like, man, it's lunchtime, bro. We just chill. Look, we got Philly cheesesteaks. We got pizza. Man, what do you want? I'm like, no, I'm good. And he's like, what you mean you're good, bro? We got all the food. I was like, listen, man, I'm good. He looked at me like, bro, are you crazy? I was like, no, I'm good. He was like, well, we're not going to get it for like 30 minutes. So, and I was like, okay, I'll just go sit in my truck and wait. You know what I'm saying? And while I went back to the car or to the truck, I was just like, God, this is what I say a lot. When you really get hungry when you're fasting, I say, God, I love you more than food. Right? I need you more than food. And then guess what? I tried to go back there another day that I wasn't fasting. At the same time, no food. I was like, what in the world? I was like, man, hey, next time, okay, you guys eat. Okay, I'll be back. And for some reason, they didn't have food. Anyway, let's get back to the story. It says, he spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also, his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And listen what happens. It says, and when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice. What does lamenting mean? Sorrowful. He cried out to Daniel. The king spoke, saying, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel. Now, I don't know about you guys, but when you see that you could have been dead and you see how God's hand was upon you, it's going to make you get excited. I mean, you got to think, it doesn't talk a lot about what Daniel did when he was down there, right? It doesn't talk about that a lot. But all we know is he says, man, oh my goodness, listen, I could have been dead. I should have been dead. But the angel of the Lord came and closed the lion's mouth. Verse 22 says, My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Now the king was exceedingly glad. This is when they, you know, you in the church service, and this is when they start cueing the music, right? Dun, 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 dun. Right? Because God did something that is outlandish. Guess what? The people that threw him in, there's nothing else they can do now. Right? What you mean that lion's mouth was shut? Now, guess what? The lion's mouth is not the only thing that could kill you. Did you guys know that? If a lion hits you with his paw, it's not like a cat's paw. You know what I'm saying? There's claws attached to that paw. When you start thinking about lions, lions are not just all nice little cats. They will kill you. I seen a guy, he had a pet lion, and he was an actor, and he took a pet lion to a red carpet. I don't know what he was thinking. But this lion is huge. And because the lion had a toothache, he started biting his owner. Right? So this is at the red carpet. And he didn't kill him, thank God, but he messed his leg up quite a bit. So a lion is not just some normal animal. They're very vicious. I've seen some people that have had lions for the whole, they spend time with lions. They go in the cage and, you know, they go run around with them and hug them. And I'm like, man, these people are crazy, man. Because you never know what a lion at nature is wild. But God shut the wild up. Amen. It said, now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him because he believed in God. See, when you make time with God, it shows that you truly believe in him. Right? Let's finish this chapter up. And it says, and the king gave the command, and they brought those men who accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. Let's catch what happened right here. Broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. That's crazy. Well, the wild came back. Right? See, this is crazy. One thing that you know, somebody might get out of this is, oh, God is about destroying women, children, and people, right? They get that from this, but they're missing the point. It was because they went against God. This is what happened. See, people's mindsets right now are destroying their women, children, and kids. Kids and children are the same, but they're destroying themselves, women, and children because their mindset is against God. They say, let's find a way to stop God. We don't want to hear from God, right? And if you keep on saying that enough, you're destroying yourself. And that's what begins to happen. Spiritually, they're thrown into the den. And even before they get down to the bottom, that's what happens. They're completely destroyed. But verse 25 says, then King Darius wrote to all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. Somebody say the God of Daniel. Then look what begins to happen. He says, for he, this is the king. This is a testimony of what began to happen because he saw what God did. He spent time with God. He prayed. God did something. And now this king recognizes who the true God is. It says, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. Now, this is not Daniel saying this. This is the king saying this. And then it says, he delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Verse 28. This is the power of when you spend time with God. It says, so this Daniel, it wasn't that Daniel, now it was this Daniel, prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. What we can see is spending time with God doesn't mean that everything is going to go great. But what it does mean is that God will be with you. God will protect you. God will lead you. Amen. So it's our job to say, I need to spend time with God. I need to make the time that I spend with God priority in my life, despite the consequences, despite whatever happens, despite what people say, despite what people think of you. Why are you spending time with prayer? Now, you can't call me during this time. I'm praying. Right? Well, but that shows them that God is priority in your life. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear God, for your word. Dear God, I thank you, dear God, first of all, that you enjoy spending time with us, oh God. Dear God, I pray to God that you would touch our hearts, oh God, so that we can spend time with you, dear God, so that we can be in your presence. We can follow after you with our whole heart, oh God. I just thank you, dear God, that you show up when we pray. So we pray, dear God, for us, our families, oh God, our cities, this state and the nation, oh God. We pray to God that, first of all, us as believers would rise up and be the ambassadors of your presence in this world. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say. Amen. So
we thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.